Good morning, class.
Good morning, Reggie.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God's will is that regardless of the challenge and test and trial or attack or problem, we overcome. We are not overwhelmed and overcome. We overcome because greater is He that's in us, hallelujah, than he that is in the world. So get your Bible, get something to make a note with. Turn everything else off. We've saved you a seat. So instead of us coming into where you are, we want you to come into where we are and be surrounded in this environment of faith and leave everything else off for a bit. Father, all of us agree as touching this, asking for the utterance, for the anointing, for the direction, the quickening of your Holy Spirit in our spirits, in our hearts and minds and souls and beings and bodies. We ask for it, and we thank you for it. You are our light and our life, and the God of our salvation. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been for weeks now continuing in this series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we've mentioned before, faith is not this mysterious, unknowable thing. Faith operates by definite principles. And even though faith works the same in every area of life, having strong faith in one area doesn't mean you have faith in all areas. It has to be fed and developed in each area. So just because you had faith that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven, that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're on your way to heaven, you might have strong faith that nobody could talk you out of that. Yet, that doesn't mean you have strong faith that your bills will be paid and that your material needs will be met, or another area that your body could be healed, or for protection, or the list goes on. And so what we've been doing, if you go back to the beginning days of Faith School, there's hundreds of lessons, and we've gone through different areas. We spent quite a bit of time on faith for healing. And so now we're talking about faith for provision. And you're not going to have that just automatically because you went to church one time, because you got born again. How does faith come?
By hearing
what God has said. And when we're talking about faith, we're not just talking about faith in faith principles. We're talking about faith in God. And that comes from hearing what He had to say. And so we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure, we are fully persuaded, we are completely convinced that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like to hear you say it. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it again. Abundant provision is always God's will for me. Well, now, always is every day, every week, every month, bills being paid,
yes.
Needs being met,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not just scraping by either, abundant provision, which includes surplus.
Yes.
And as we've read in Deuteronomy 28, includes storehouses
yes.
full.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's over and above what it takes to run you day in, day out. Now, we saw in Galatians 3:13, it said, Christ has redeemed me, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That, the blessing of Abraham, would come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. These phrases really summarize what Jesus has done for us at the cross and in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. He redeemed us. And a lot of church-going people, they've heard that term. They would, if you said, have you been redeemed? Oh, yeah, maybe they've sung about it. I'm redeemed. But the Bible's specific. From what? You were redeemed from specific things. And then that redemption qualified you and I for specific things. Yes. And we need to know what we've been redeemed from. And what's been given to us.
Yes.
We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That sounds good. Doesn't sound like lack. Doesn't sound like not having enough. Sounds like abundance. So in Deuteronomy 28, we won't go through all of it again, but he said, if you listen to me, and do what I tell you. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. You'll be blessed when you go out, when you come in, your basket, your store, everything you set your hand to. And then he gets to verse 15. But if you won't listen. Now, are these principles still true and active today, that you're going to have a different life depending on whether you do listen to God or whether you won't listen to Him?
Yes.
Hmm? Of course, the first big thing is, will you listen to Him about Jesus being the only Savior?
Right?
Just as a human being, we got millions of people on the planet. They will not hear that. They won't accept it. They either have chosen to believe a lie that God doesn't exist, or they have replaced God with some kind of man-made God and some kind of idea, or any number of things, but they won't hear it. Well, then, are they going to be blessed, or are they going to be cursed? The curse is in the earth. Hmm? You don't have to do anything to get cursed. Just get born.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And if something doesn't happen to insulate you from the curse and protect you from it, it's going to work against you and in your life. This whole earth, the whole planet, I mean the soil, the core, the oceans, the atmosphere, every plant, every animal, every human being is affected by this. The curse permeates it. Oh, but even though we're in the world, we're a different group.
Amen.
Y'all just think you're special. You got that right. Yeah, we are special. You could be too.
That's right.
Right? You could join us.
That's right.
If you will, it's a time limited offer.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. And the clock's ticking, but you could be. But you're only going to be free from this curse and experience blessing instead if you walk in redemption. And like we said, in the new covenant, the way we keep His commandments is by faith, living and walking by faith, love, keeping the love commandment. And the Bible said, he that loves his neighbor, he's fulfilled all the law, all the commandments. I mean, so many of the commandments, just look at them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them.
Right?
Right? You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to steal their husband or wife. You're not going to murder them. Right? I mean, the list goes on. All the things. Somebody said, why did he have to give all the details? They weren't born again. They didn't have the love of God. You couldn't tell them, be led by the Spirit. They did not have that option. We do. That's why our covenant's a better covenant. But if we will be walking in faith, walking in love, led by the Spirit, then all that people were trying to do to qualify with the law, we are already qualified by what Jesus has done, and by listening to Him and walking with Him, we will experience the blessing and not the curse. Now, I want to go a little bit further with this. We talked about last couple of days here in class is when you read verse 15 in Deuteronomy 28, and then the quite a few verses after that to finish that chapter, and all of them are about the curse. And it says, it talks about the Lord sending this and smiting and numerous phrases like that. And what we said is the way to understand this is that God is the righteous judge of all the earth. And what happens is he passes judgment that allows the destroyer access. But this does not please him, and this is not his will. And we read from Lamentations that he doesn't willingly do it. Somebody says, well, he's God. Then why would he do it? Because he's the righteous judge of all the earth. And he's not going to pervert justice for anybody.
No. That's right.
He would cease to be who he is if he did. And what you find is that the enemy has convinced so many unbelievers, even though they claim to not even believe in God, you'll find they'll contradict themselves and come back around and get mad at a God they don't believe in. Right? Thought you said he didn't exist. Yeah, but why did he let this happen? Why did he? They don't even claim to believe in him, but they're blaming him. And then you got a lot of church-going people. Same thing. You find a lot of people that were born again and went to church for a while, but they got offended and they got hurt over this or that. They prayed for something and it didn't happen. They tried to believe for something and it didn't happen. And they were like, well, where was God when I needed him? And sometimes the enemy convinces them, well, there is no God. Whatever, they just get cold and backslide. Or you know it without acknowledging it too loudly that a lot of people are mad at God. But they're all wrong.
That's right.
I said they're wrong. Go to Ephesians, if you would, the second chapter. We looked at this and talked about this in when he said the Lord will smite, the Lord will send this on you and send that on you, and all these curses and bad things. In the very next chapter, in 29, 30, 31, 32, we saw that the Lord said, they're going to break my covenant. And when they do, I'm going to forsake them and hide my face from them, and they'll be devoured. And evil and troubles will come on. Be devoured. Did you hear that?
Yes.
God's not the one devouring them.
Yes.
He just left them to themselves.
That's right.
And then the 32nd chapter, in the 20th verse, he said, I'll hide my face from them and will see what their end will be, because they are a froward generation, children in whom is no faith. He says, well, they don't want me, so I'm out, and we'll see what happens with them. How many know it won't be good?
Right?
And so Ephesians 2 in the New Testament is very clear on this. Ephesians 2:11 says, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Well, that's us. Heathen. Gentiles. We were outside of the covenant of God. And now notice how he describes that condition. Verse 12, at that time, you were what?
Without
Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from what?
The covenants.
The covenants of promise. One of the worst places you could be as a human being on planet Earth is outside the covenant.
Yes,
sir. Hmm? Because if you're outside the covenant, it's open season on your little self. Because notice, what's the next phrase?
Having
what?
No hope.
No hope. And what?
Without God.
Without God in the world. So is God their problem?
No.
No. What's the problem? God is not involved. Oh, friend, if people could get a hold of this, it would change things all over the place. Well, why did God do this? Who said he did? Why wasn't God there? Well, because you won't listen. You didn't want him. You cut him off. You kicked him out of your schools. Huh? Didn't want him in this. Didn't want him in that. Well, you can't kick him out and say, yeah, but you owe me protection. No, I don't. Come on, can you see this? You got to be in or out. Right? Cold or hot?
Yes.
On or off? He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. He said, don't play with this. You want me or you don't? You with me or you not? Class, do you know the right answer to these questions I'm asking? You want me or you not? I want you, God. I want you. I want all of you in all my business. I want you all in my business. Everywhere. He said, you with me or you not? I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you. I'm with you. In the morning, noon, and when the sun goes down. Now we're laughing, but this is serious business. And this is why there's so much tragedy, so much evil, so much. People say, well, why does God let all this happen? God's not involved in it. He's not in it. That's the problem. Come on, read it again. I didn't write this. What did he say? At that time, this is before you were saved. You were what?
Without.
Christ wasn't causing you problems.
No.
You were without him. And aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, what's that got to do with it? Because the same God that made covenants with Israel made covenants with Abraham. Israel are the descendants of Abraham. Those same covenants are the same truths that you see in Deuteronomy 28, are the same truths that we have in the new covenant. We are now called the seed of Abraham. Is that right? And you saw in that 13th verse, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. The 14th verse says that the blessing of Abraham. So yes, we who were outside, heathen, Gentiles, no heritage, nothing, got delivered from the power and authority of darkness and death and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, adopted as sons and daughters into the covenants. Oh, hallelujah! Of life and blessing and every good thing. And so, you know, I just have to cast it down, because when I hear people talking about, well, why'd God do that? And why didn't God do this? I'm like, you're asking the wrong questions. Wrong questions. The problem is not God causing problems. The issue is God's not even in it. He's not involved in it. People are doing their own thing because they have left God out. Rejected him, and then wonder why it's such a mess, and then so stupidly blame him for their disobedience. We're not that dumb. Nobody in faith school could be this dumb. I'm looking at you. Right? Come on, say it out loud. I am not
that dumb.
Without Christ. Are there people in the world today without Christ?
Yes.
Millions of them. What is their condition? They are outside the covenants.
Yes.
And they have no hope. I don't care how rich they are, how educated they are, how famous they are. That's all going to be over in a flash. They are absolutely hopeless. And that's why outside of God, outside of the covenant, outside of salvation, there is no amount of money or success or things that will fulfill you. Can't do it. Because you were made for more.
That's right.
And If you are that way, you without Christ, you have no hope and you are without God. God's not your problem. He's not causing you issues. You don't have God in your life. Now notice with me in Luke, the 13th chapter. Well, I didn't finish reading that. Go back to Ephesians 2. I didn't finish reading this. He said you were without Christ, no hope, without God in the world. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who used to be so far off, you have been made near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who's made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition between us, which kept us out, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself two, one new man, so making peace. He talks about here and in Colossians how that all those, you know, the curses and all of the things that were against us was nailed to the tree with Jesus. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. And again, that's how he redeemed us from the curse. So today, we are not without Christ. We are not without hope. We are not without God. He's in us. We're in him. We're blessed, not cursed. And we have a sure expectation and hope of eternal salvation and victory in this life. Look in Luke 13. We're answering some big questions. Because people say, well, you know, these are some of the greatest mysteries. We'll just never know why God did this or why God let this happen. In many of these cases, you are asking the absolute wrong question. The truth was, God was nowhere around that. He was not involved in that. And the problem is that people have a will of their own and choose wrongly. And one of the biggest problems, many times, won't repent. Now, you can make a mistake, and that's not the end of the world. It's not just what you do, it's what you do last.
Yes.
Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
It's what you do at the end. You could have missed it so terribly and bad, but if you'll repent, God will forgive you, and you won't be destroyed. In Luke 13, he said they told him about the Galileans that Pilate had mixed their blood with their sacrifices. They were slaughtering animals for sacrifice, and Pilate sent soldiers that slaughtered them while they were doing it. Jesus said, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Because of this mentality that bad things happen to bad people. And so if it was really bad, they must have been worse people than other people around. What did Jesus say?
No.
Verse 3, I tell you what?
No.
No. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Can you see he's talking about the other side of it? Well, why did God do that to them? He said, that's not the issue. Unless you repent. What happens if you repent? God can protect you.
Amen.
Oh, come on, y'all listen. God can protect you and spare you. Look at the next one. He said, those 18 that the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think they were sinners above all, worse than all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you what?
No.
But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This was a tower, a building that fell on people and killed them. And so people are trying to say, well, man, you know, wonder why God did that. That's the wrong question. The question is, why was God unable to protect them? Can you see this? Why wasn't God able to be there and do whatever needed to happen so that they weren't destroyed and killed? How do I get in a place where I am kept? Repentance. Can you see this? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, he said. Repentance. Acknowledge you need God. Acknowledge, look to him every day. When you miss it, Repent. Stay close. Stay in, right?
Yes.
Stay. And then when he deals with you, if you'd have been living then, and it was, you know, this kind of time now with new covenant privileges, he could have said, don't go over to the Tower of Siloam today.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. You're praying in the morning and the Lord deals with you. Stay away from that whole block.
Yes.
Hmm? We've heard testimonies like this from all over the world.
Yes.
And so it's not why did God do it. The issue is why wasn't he able to protect and spare? And that comes back to us. So say it out loud. Lord,
you are
my protection.
You are my protection.
I'm willing to repent.
I'm willing to listen.
Every day and
every night.
I don't blame you. You are not the problem. And I invite you into my life, and I thank you for keeping me. Praise God. That's it for today. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. Sure enjoyed being with you again this week. The Lord's helping us. I like to, at the end of the week, speak over our partners, and we have a right to. If you're joined with us, I know a number of you are partners. If you'd like to be, there's information on the screen. One thing we talked about was that God's not our problem. Do not blame him for problems in your finances or in any other area. He said, if you repent, he is able to restore. So, Father, I ask you, any adjustments, any changes that we need to make in our finances, in our business, in our life, reveal it to us. Remind us of it, please. We submit ourselves to your lordship and your leadership, and we believe it is your will for us to prosper abundantly. We call every need met. We call every bill paid. We call every debt paid and satisfied, every obligation fulfilled, that we might be a good and a right witness in the world, even to unbelievers round about us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're believing with you just those things that we prayed. Be on the watch for those adjustments to make, and then watch out. Is overflow is God's will, and that means you have abundance to help others. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.